couple of weeks ago, we began this series of sermons in Matthew by saying that whenever you read the Gospels, you discover that people are never neutral about Jesus. So they either journey towards him or away from him. They're never neutral about him. And we too are never neutral about him as we look at the Bible. See, our response to the Bible's message about Jesus forces us either to find out more about him or to dismiss him, to submit to him or to reject him. And we saw, as we looked at that last passage, some different reactions to Jesus. There was the community's dismissal of Jesus in his own hometown of Nazareth. And we also saw how an individual, Herod Antipas, turned his back on Jesus. But we also saw how compassionate and powerful Jesus is as he fed the crowds and as he came to save those who trust him. Now in today's passage we see another group of people who come into contact with Jesus, the religious leaders of the nation, and what happens to them. And we're on page 982 of the Church Bible, so it'd be a great help, I think, to have it open as we look and learn from it together. And we're going to look at this passage in this way. First, we're going to look at some background to understand the presenting issue in the passage. Then we'll look at the scenes in the passage, and then we'll think what it means. First, let's look at the background first. The background. Now, the issue we need to understand to start with, to help us to make sense of this passage, is the phrase, the tradition of the elders. It comes in verse 2. If you've got your Bibles open there, just have a look at it, please. Where these Pharisees and teachers of the law ask, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? And it comes again in verse 3, if you look at it. Jesus replied, and why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? Comes again there in verse 6. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. It also comes up in verse 9, although in our version, tradition has been translated as the rules taught by men. So just look at verse 9. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. So what is the tradition of the elders? The elders, or the teachers of the law, were those Jews whose job it was to explain the Jewish scriptures, and they drew up an explanations of what God was expecting from his people. And the teachers of the law had a tradition about washing. Now, we tend to wash our hands before we eat in order not to spread germs. So we might think that the teachers of the law were being quite reasonable, if a bit overwhelming. It's a bit like going to a public loo and seeing that notice by the wash basins saying, now wash your hands. But the tradition here has nothing to do with personal hygiene. No, they were concerned to be clean or acceptable to God. Now, in the Old Testament, the only time washing of hands is prescribed is for a priest before he engaged in his priestly duty. But over time, the teachers of the law had extended hand washing to everyone, every time they ate. The teachers of the law taught that to be right with God, you had to wash your hands before a meal. There's a book called the Mishnah, and in it details what was involved in hand washing. It specifies how high up the hand people should wash their hands, how much water should be used, where the water should come from, and what kind of vessel you should use to wash your hands. The teachers of the law, who wanted to be acceptable to God, taught the people that they must wash their hands before a meal, or they would be far from God. So when these Pharisees and teachers of the law see that Jesus' disciples didn't wash their hands before a meal, they thought that the disciples were separated from God. Now that's one tradition mentioned in this passage. There's a second tradition in this passage. You find it there in verse 5, and it is a gift devoted to God. Just look at verse 5, please, with me. But you say that if a man says to his father and mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God. Now the teachers of the law had devised a way of charitable giving called a gift devoted to God. And a gift devoted to God was a pledge that was payable at death. And it was possible to dedicate a sum of money to the Lord, say, you know, maybe for the temple, and it was devoted to God, and yet it was possible at the same time to keep the money yourself. So the donor could use this money on himself, but he could not spend it on anyone else. But Jesus exposes the fact that the teachers of the law had created a loophole that broke God's clear commands. So the Ten Commandments says, honour your father and mother. Now we honour our parents in different ways throughout our lives. A four-year-old honours his father and mother by obeying them. A 14-year-old honours his father or mother by obeying them without rolling his eyes or sighing. A 24-year-old honours his father or mother by communicating with them. A 34-year-old honours his father or mother by allowing them to see the grandchildren and keeping in touch. But when we're 44 or 54 or 64, we may need to honour our parents in a different way. We might need to make sure that they're not lonely and are treated with dignity and respect. We might need to take care of their soul as well as their body. But the tradition of the elders was stopping people in Jesus' day from obeying God's commands. As parents got older and perhaps were unable to work, they might need financial help from their children. But if money was a gift devoted to God, the teachers of the law were saying, I'm sorry, these children could not use this money to help their parents. In other words, far from keeping people right with God, Jesus is saying is the people who follow the tradition of the elders, and the elders themselves who were teaching it, were disobeying God. So Jesus says that although the Pharisees and teachers of the law thought that the disciples were doing something wrong, no, they themselves were wrong. The teachers of the law didn't actually help anyone to know God or to obey God. And this is the background issue that we need to understand. Now what about the scenes that take place in our passage? There are three scenes in the passage. And the first is when some Pharisees and teachers of the law come from Jerusalem and confront Jesus. Now the Pharisees and teachers of the law are a delegation from Jerusalem. News about Jesus has come to Jerusalem, the center of Judaism. And the religious leaders there want to check out this rabbi who is creating such a stir up north. So they send a fact-finding delegation, which journeys 120 miles up to Galilee. They want to see if Jesus is orthodox. And they question Jesus because his disciples disregard their teaching about hand washing, which they thought was essential to be right with God. Now what Jesus does is he responds to their question by asking another question, as he often does. Just look at verse 3. Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say, 'If a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God,' he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition." Now we need to realize that Jesus is strongly critical of their views. Jesus says that their tradition of a gift devoted to God shows that the Pharisees and teachers of the law are actually very far from God. They don't relate to God rightly. And it's no small matter. Just look at verse 7. Look at what Jesus calls them there in verse 7. He says, "You hypocrites." This is the first time that Jesus calls them such. And when, if you look, want to look again, look at chapter 23, where there is a string of denunciations. And what Jesus is saying with those words, "you hypocrites," is that he is saying that these people are play-acting. When it comes to knowing God, these people appear to be in with God, when in reality they are separated from God. And Jesus backs up his assertion by quoting the prophet Isaiah. Just look at what he says in verse 8. "These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." Far from honouring God, the teachers of the law and the teaching of the teachers of the law stops people from obeying God, and it stops people from loving and helping one another as God intends. The teachers of the law are bothered by what's on the outside. They appear very impressive, but they've added to God's word, and it's led them and those who believe them far, far away from God. Well, that's the first scene. The second scene is in verses 10 and 11. It's separate from the first scene because now Jesus addresses the crowds and not the Pharisees and teachers of the law. Maybe the delegation is standing nearby. We don't know for sure. But Jesus speaks a parable to the crowds around him. Just look what he says in verse 10. Jesus called the crowd and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean." When Jesus says, "listen and understand," he's calling on people to find out what he is saying. It's an urgent call to heed and respond to his words. That's the second scene. Then we come to the third scene, which begins in verse 12, and it probably occurs a little later. The focus here is on Jesus as he explains the issue of cleanliness to the and uncleanliness to the disciples. Now the disciples begin in verse 12 by saying that the Jerusalem delegation was offended by what Jesus had said. And Jesus replies by telling them something important about the Jewish religious leaders. Look at verse 13. "He replied, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up from the roots.'" Now Jesus says first that the Pharisees and teachers of the law are not from God. God has not planted them. Twice in Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 3 and again in chapter 13, Matthew has told us that unproductive plants or weeds are pulled up and are thrown into the fire. And Jesus is saying it's not a good thing to be uprooted. To be uprooted is to be judged eternally. Jesus says something else in verse 14. Jesus says that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law are the wrong leaders to follow. Look at what he says in verse 14. "Leave them, they are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit." We get the expression, it's like the blind leading the blind, and it comes from Jesus' words here. And when we say it's like the blind leading the blind, we mean don't follow that person. It won't lead you anywhere good. And the person leading them doesn't know what he's doing. And Jesus is saying to the disciples that the Pharisees and teachers of the law only lead people into a pit. They only lead people into danger. And they lead people into the ultimate danger of the everlasting pit of judgment from which there is no escape. Now Jesus couldn't be more damning of the Pharisees and teachers of the law. Do you see why people couldn't be neutral about Jesus? He just wouldn't let them. And Jesus' words must have been very hard to take. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law wouldn't be seen as baddies. They would have been seen as good people, respectable, trustworthy, knowledgeable about God. But Jesus says, follow their ways, and it leads you only to hell. We might think, surely Jesus has overstated the issue. What's wrong with the teachers of the law? And in verses 15 to 20, Jesus teaches clearly about what is uncleanliness. Now again, let's not think about personal hygiene. Let's think about sin, holiness, and what is acceptable to God. So Jesus explains the parable there in verse 17. Just have a look at it, please. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean, but eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. Now Jesus says we shouldn't think that our hands or our stomach affects our relationship with God. No, what affects our relationship with God is what comes out of our hearts. Now, when Jesus speaks of the heart, he's not speaking of the pump that drives the blood around the body, nor is he thinking about our emotions. No, the heart is the part of you that makes your choices. The heart is the part of you that is at the centre of your longings. Your heart shapes your thoughts. In other words, your heart is you. So what comes out of your heart expresses you. So Jesus says in verse 19, for out of you come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. Now Jesus here is not denying that people are capable of great good, tenderness, nobility, sympathy, creativity and kindness. No, he's merely pointing out what cuts us off from God. And it isn't anything to do with whether we wash our hands or what comes out of us. In this list, Jesus is probably thinking about the Ten Commandments. So the Ten Commandments says, you shall not murder. And we probably haven't killed anyone in person. But have you ever said something deliberately slightly misleading about someone else? In the office? In the staff room? Over a drink with some friends, maybe even in church. You shall not commit adultery. You may not have had sex with another person who's not your husband or wife, but have you ever looked a little too long at another person that you found attractive? Are you content to watch nudity in films? Then I guess we wouldn't be happy to see our own sister or mother or wife naked in a film, so we shouldn't be willing to watch someone else's sister, wife or mother, either. Commandments say, you shall not steal. I don't suppose you've stolen from shops. But have you ever passed off as your own work someone else's work and then taken the credit for it? Have you ever taken the credit for someone else's idea? Ever swiped anything from the office and not returned something you've borrowed? Have you ever stolen someone's wife or husband? You shall not give false testimony. Probably we won't have lied in a court of law, but have you ever lied about something that you did or that something someone else did? Or maybe you just put a slightly different spin on what actually happened. See, no amount of hand washing will ever get the stain out of us. It's come from our heart. From our heart, from the real you, and none of us is different. And we can't blame our response on our environment. Just imagine for a moment you're holding a cup of toxic waste and someone bumps into you and the toxic waste spills out. The problem is not the bump, it's the toxic waste. And friends, all of us are carrying toxic waste. Our hearts are unclean. Twist here in this passage is that the hearts of the disciples, our hearts, are no different from the Pharisees and teachers of the law. Now for one person, their toxicity will be expressed in slander. They'll run other people down. For another, their mind is fixed on adultery and they can't stop. For another, it's evil thoughts. They're always thinking the worst about others. For still others, it's a combination of some of these things, and at times it may be for all of these things that Jesus said. Well, what does this mean? Well, maybe you're new to St. Peter's. Please do realise that it's possible to be misled when it comes to spiritual matters. It is possible to come into a church and think that what matters is what we might call the form. Whether we should turn east at the creed. What the vicar wears. Worry whether you put your hands up in the air or whether you need to stuff them down into your pockets. But to think this way is actually to travel away from Jesus. What Jesus says matters is that our hearts are cleansed. And that's actually why Jesus came. Jesus wants each of us to see that we need to be cleansed. Me, you, just all of us. And that's why he came, so that you and I could be forgiven. He came so that we could have new hearts. But for that to happen, we must turn to him. If you're new to things, it may be enough just at this point to say, Lord Jesus, this is just new to me. So you need to say that in prayer, but I need to find out more. Please help me to understand. For others, what you may need to do is admit, Lord Jesus, I know that my heart needs to be cleansed. Please, would you cleanse me? Maybe you're a Christian here. Many of us are. And may I ask you, how are you? Are you free from toxicity? If I or someone else were to bump into you, what might spill out? If you're trusting in the Lord Jesus, the great thing is, although the thoughts that we have and the words that we say and even some of the actions that we do will show us that we are toxic by ourselves, but that's not the only thing that we can say about us. The great news is that Jesus has paid the penalty. The power over us has been broken, and we're on the way to the day when our lives will be free from the presence of that toxicity. You know, the things that Jesus talks about here. And I hope you're looking forward to that event. It'd be great. The challenge for us, I think, in the meantime, is to admit that we're still toxic. Friends, we do need to be honest with the Lord every day about the state of our thoughts, our words, and even our deeds. And the encouragement is that when we do admit it, what Jesus has done for us on the cross then begins to make sense day by day, and we can enjoy him safe in the amazing wonder that the Lord Jesus loves people like us, even though he knows what we are like through and through. We have a great God who when we turn to him, is more ready to forgive us if we're trusting in the Lord Jesus. So let's thank him for that. As we sit, let's pray together. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a person unclean. Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for these words of the Lord Jesus, and but for them, we might be blind to our own faults, or willfully blind, pretending that we are much better than we really are. But his words expose us, for he tells us what we're really like, and that we know that every part of us is corrupted, none of us is good as we should be. Please help us to accept what the Lord Jesus teaches about us, that we are corrupt through and through. And we want to thank you that he came to die on the cross for us, that there, as he paid the penalty for us, we find forgiveness, and that we can be free from sin. And one day, if we're trusting him, we will be free. And so we want to pray that you would help us to admit what we're like and to travel with him, and not away from him. And we ask these things for your name's sake. Amen.